Welcome to the Cashflow Ninja, the podcast sharing how to create and grow income streams and manage, multiply, and protect your wealth in the new economy. Are you tired of trading your time for money? Do you desire freedom today instead of retirement in 10, 20, or 30 years? I'm MC Laubscher, and this is the Cashflow Ninja. This is Cashflow Ninja. I'm MC Laubscher. Thank you so much for joining me in another episode of the Cashflow Ninja podcast. I appreciate you spending your most valuable resource, your time, once again with me on the show. You could check out, by the way, all of our past episodes, community resources, and tools at cashflowninja.com. There's over 700 podcasts on there with all types of different amazing guests talking about different things. So check it out at cashflowninja.com. We are also helping folks set up infinite banking. You could check out infinite banking and how to become your own bank at yourownbankingsystem.com. One more announcement is we're holding a State of the Union webinar with our friend Dave Steck. Dave Steck has done two of these State of the Union webinars for us. We're doing a live webinar. This is on January 28th at 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. You could go to cashflowninja.com/state2021. I've got another fantastic guest, another Cashflow Ninja joining us today on the show. Super excited to connect with her. Amanda Holmes, welcome to the Cashflow Ninja.
Thank you so much. It's so happy to be here.
Absolutely. Now, for folks not familiar with you and what you do, can you please share a little bit about your background and journey with them?
Well, I'm CEO of Chat Homes International. My father started it in 1991, and we have 12 core competencies for doubling companies' sales. And it's based upon a New York Times bestseller that my father wrote called The Ultimate Sales Machine, which actually happens to be voted the top 10 most recommended sales book of all time, which is pretty lovely. So we service companies all around the world. It's in 13 different languages and help you grow.
Fantastic. And by the way, that was one of the books that had a profound impact on me too. So I'm very excited to talk about this. Taking over the business and running it, what was that transition like? What were some of the initial lessons that you've learned? Because of course, everything is a learning and a growing process, right?
Oh my goodness. Well, I had no intention of taking over the business. So I went to college as a singer-songwriter. I had released my fourth album when my father got ill. And through that process, not a day went by where he said, this is how you should run my business. This is what's happening in my business. This is what I would like for the future of my business. We had not one conversation, and he was in the hospital for a year and a half and never spent a night alone. So after he passed, I ended up inheriting it. I was 24. I had a couple hundred staff, all double my age. And I'm looking around and they're looking at me and we're looking at each other going, oh my God, what do we do here, right? And it took me 2 years. I changed around the executive team a couple of times, just trying to find the right fit. Because when you lose that heart of an organization, you have to figure out how to make it beat again. And eventually I ended up stepping in at 26 as CEO. And here we are 6 years later and just continuing on the legacy of my father's and helping companies grow.
That's phenomenal. And what an experience. I mean, talk about being thrown in at the deep end, right?
Yes. I remember the first time I looked at the P&L and I actually sobbed because I didn't even know what our 12 companies were. I didn't even know what they were like. I looked at the labels. I'm like, I don't even know what this company does. I had never, it was terrifying.
What was that learning experience for you? Because we might have folks that, and I've been in touch with a number of them where they start a business also. And there's a number of ways that it happened. You could buy a business or run into a situation such as yourself, or there's sometimes folks that start a business and they go, wow, this thing just blew up in 12 months and I don't know what to do. And now it's like, you know, we've got an infant behind a driving wheel and a very fast driving car. How do we, what were some of the things that you took to get up to speed and how would I say collapse time in the learning process? Because that wasn't a novelty that you had at that stage.
Yeah. Well, the first thing I did was listen. And I'm very grateful that our organization was virtual, because majority of the time when I'd be listening, I'd be crying because the calls, I just didn't know what was going on. I was missing my father. It was just a very emotional time. But listening first was crucial. And I think for anybody that's stepping into an organization, whether you're a new staff stepping into an existing organization, you want to see what is working and what needs improvement. So the only way to know that is by asking lots of questions. And so I finally got up the nerve to start asking questions. And when I started asking questions, people told me that that was a good question. Keep asking. So I was also lucky enough to have, I have a spiritual teacher that guided me as well. And the journey of understanding myself was just as crucial as learning the competencies of my father, because there was a lot of hardships thrown in my face. And my exec team said that they were shocked in the first 3 years of my inheriting. They said that majority of business owners wouldn't experience that in a lifetime, what I had experienced in this like 3 year gap. And it really took my own practice of being centered in myself, my own, you know, routines of getting into a meditative state that was like a savior to me. And Divine Bliss International was a nonprofit that was very big in that journey of my own understanding. And then as I was going through that journey, I was doing what the masters were doing. So I watched my father's videos every single day for 6 months. Yeah. So that I could just dictate every single thing he ever said. And funny enough, I realized that I actually knew a lot of what he taught because I just lived with him. And I considered that as the logical way to do business. And I came to find as I stepped into the business that that's not how everybody does business, like the Dream 100 strategy.
Yes, which I can't wait to get into. There's already two extremely, extremely powerful things. We've just gotten started. And the big takeaway there too, the quality of your life is determined by the quality of the questions that you ask and the power of questions. And just sharing that is just such a big reminder for all of us. And the other thing that I would say that is, I wrote it down here because it's just so powerful, that the mastery of oneself is so underestimated. So many people that did so well in the last year, in 2020, and that are already doing well this year, mastered themselves because they couldn't control everything, all these uncontrollable variables in the economy and outside in the world, right? But if they could control themselves and master themselves in their mind and their spirit, that's why I love when you said you had a spiritual sort of mentor, because I have personally seen folks do things that, from losing 50 pounds to starting multi-million dollar businesses to all of these different things in 2020. And it's because they mastered themselves. So those are two very powerful things you've already shared. Before we jump into the Dream 100 strategy, which I'm super excited to talk to, we also have a connection where there's some martial arts background in both of our families. So I wanted you to talk a little bit about that and some of your lessons and takeaway on that, because I've shared on this show how I've seen my dad pursue excellence in his craft daily, and that was the idea for the Cashflow Ninja. And I interviewed him recently on the show because he came in and visited from South Africa. So what are some of the things from a martial art point of view that some of the takeaways and lessons that you have too?
Yes. So my father was a fourth degree black belt. It was really just from growing up in some really shady neighborhoods. He was born in the Bronx and moved around a lot and had to learn self-defense because a lot of fights. But through that mastery, what he realized was, and this is a quotable quote from Sir Chet Holmes, my father, mastery isn't about doing 4,000 things. It's about doing 12 things 4,000 times. And he found that, him being a karateka, that how many times do you do punches in rounds of two, right? How many times do you do a roundhouse kick, right? It's not that it's a whole bunch of fancy moves. It's just mastering those over and over and over again until you truly get to that level of expertise. And he said, it's the same thing in business. It's not about doing 4,000 different ideas of the shiny object syndrome. It's actually about sticking to one thing and seeing it through and having the pig-headed discipline and determination to be able to make that happen.
It's very powerful. I think, and I'm, by the way, famous for butchering quotes, but I think Bruce Lee had a similar quote to, you know, he doesn't fear the man that does like 4,000 kicks, but does like one kick, or same kind of principle. It's just very, very powerful stuff. And another key takeaway. So I've teased everyone out there enough about the Dream 100 strategy. Let's get into this. Please explain what it is, how it works, because this is one of the most powerful things I've seen in business. And the folks that, you know, you recognize when folks implement it, and I'm like, man, this is awesome. This person has it together. So please share away.
Yes, my father actually developed the Dream 100 40 years ago. So he was working for co-chairman of Berkshire Hathaway. His name is Charlie Munger. And it has become the fastest, least expensive way to double sales, by the way. It's the one strategy that has doubled the sales of more businesses than any other. And it's very simple at its core. So if you think about it, there are a smaller number of better buyers than there are all buyers. So marketing and selling to just a smaller number is cheaper, right? So I'll give you the example. So my father was working for Charlie Munger at a newspaper. They gave him 2,200 different advertisers and said, go after them, go cold call them and see what you can close. He thought, wow, that's a lot of work. Let me research and find out how many of them are doing advertising right now. And he came to find that only 167 of those 2,000 advertisers, those 167 were buying 95% of the advertising in the space. So instead of marketing out to all 2,200, he led an intensive effort to those 167. And it looked like this. I mean, 40 years ago, it was, you know, a lumpy mail piece on Wednesday, the following Wednesday, a follow-up phone call, the following Friday, a follow-up email. And then again, the next week, a follow-up lumpy mail again, then a phone call, then a email. And it would just repeat over and over and over again. Today you would see, you know, maybe a tweet, another LinkedIn message, right? If you could get them a Facebook DM, if you could get them on Clubhouse, whatever. So many different mediums that can be added in there today, but it's the repetition and it's ongoing. So the first 4 months, he got not one sale. And now people are starting to talk, right? We've hired this big sales guy and he hasn't closed one business, but he's going after the biggest and the best. In the sixth month, he closed the largest contract that that company had ever seen. It was Xerox. It was a 28-page spread, brought them into the industry. Subsequently, after that, they doubled sales in that 1 month from that one contract. And then he closed 28 more till the end of the year and they doubled sales again. And then multiple divisions, double multiple years in a row, several divisions, they all doubled within 12 to 15 months. It was just Charlie Munger actually brought my father into his office and said, I've never seen this kind of growth. Are you lying, cheating, or stealing? He didn't think it was actually possible that that could happen. So that is the power of a Dream 100 today. Finding those buyers that buy the most from you, that buy the most often. A lot of the time today, we're even seeing influencers who are your top Dream 100 influencers that can get to your ideal buyers. And how can you win them over to work with them?
So it's almost like, you know, besides doing proper segmentation and going after them with a strategy. I love the lumpy mail stuff, by the way. It's just fantastic. I still see that there's companies out there online that still does this, and it's still very effective because so few people actually send mail. So if you get this lumpy kind of like envelope, you're totally going to open it. You're like, what is in this, right? So it's actually a very good way to get to folks. But the other thing, besides having a good strategy too, is what you just mentioned too, is getting in front of the people that are already in front of your ideal audience and already have your ideal audience and figuring out through a strategy to actually partner with them in a lot of different ways. It's pretty, pretty powerful. And like you said, that is the quickest way to scale and double sales and scale a business.
Yeah. I mean, if you don't have any money. So for me, I didn't spend a dime on advertising in the front end. I did do retargeting ads in the back end, but I did not spend a dime. And I got 20,000 new businesses into my business doing a virtual event where I pulled in all of the biggest names I knew. I mean, we're talking Zig Ziglar's organization. I worked with Tom. I did Infusionsoft. I did Brendan Burchard. I mean, the biggest of the big at that time, brought them all in. I interviewed them. They all emailed out on my behalf to promote this event. And it didn't cost me a dime in advertising. How awesome is that, right? That is the power of what a Dream 100 can do. It completely relaunched my brand when I stepped in as CEO.
Yeah, and this is something I would say for our listeners to, you have to be very strategic, make that list. And 100 is a lot, but sit down. I mean, it takes, it could be a while that you find your 100. You could start with 5, with 10, with 15, and so forth, and start building it up and have a plan. You know, have a strategy in place of how to actually provide something of value to them as well. That's a great example. You know, this huge platform bringing together all these folks that they would happily advertise, because again, you know, it's a platform that they're on there with other big names. So they want to be a part of it. They want to share it. So there was a great value exchange between you and them, which I think is very important too in this, and find ways. Look at what people, you know, try to figure out what people are trying to accomplish, their goals, and what they are trying to get this year, and figure out how you can help them instead of just, you know, because I see a lot of folks are, well, how can I help you? And it's kind of like, you know, let me think of how you can help me. No. Like, awesome. What are your goals? What are you looking to accomplish this year? And then come up with creative ways to figure out how you can be of service and of value to them, right?
Yes, most definitely. Usually we teach that through education.
Sticking with Charlie Munger, which is a very interesting individual that we can learn a lot from. I think another thing too that might be very important is to look at some of his best practices for time management and how folks can incorporate it within their lives this year, because we all have the same amount of time in a day. That's the one great equalizer. So how you do it, how you manage it, and how you schedule it is the differentiator. What are some of the time management secrets of these billionaires and legends such as Charlie Munger?
Yes. So my father realized, like you just said, Charlie had the same 24 hours in a day. How come he was making a billion and my father was, you know, making what he was making? And so he modeled this. He took a bunch of time management courses and said, they all take so much time. Good time management shouldn't take a lot of time. So this is something that takes 5 minutes at the beginning of your day, and it will improve your productivity by 500%. It's just these 5 steps. So anybody that's listening, I would recommend writing these down. So the first step is to touch it once. How much time? We actually waste an entire week's vacation in a year just taking an email and rereading it. How many times do you do that? Imagine how many times you reread social media posts too. The amount of time we waste just rereading something is absurd. So when you pick up an email, you read it, take action on it. Even if it's saying, I don't have time to respond to this now, let's discuss it in our next meeting, right? There's so many things you can do. So number one, touch it once. Number two, list out your to-dos. So once you've listed out your to-dos, then you want to pick the top 6, because you really want to make sure that you get done what you want to get done. Step number 3 is allocate how much time it takes each one of those 6 things to do. What I realize is that majority of the time I'll list out all these things and I'll think that I'm superwoman, that I can accomplish it all. But when I actually write, okay, this in truth will take me an hour or maybe even 2 hours. And then here I am at my day and I'm like, I can't get all of this done. So then I'm managing my expectations so that by the end of the day, I feel great because I've accomplished what I set out to do. So once you have that amount of time, that added time, number 4 is actually putting it into your schedule. So you say from 8 to 8:30, right? I'm doing, you know, maybe you just got a client and you need to make sure that everything's working and that they're being billed. So I'm sending out things to accounting and I'm handling that client. From 8:30 to 9:30, I'm working on a new proposal for a next client. From 9:30 to 10 o'clock, I'm checking my email. From 10 to 10:30, I'm checking my social media. and I'm only keeping it to that amount of time, then I'm back on track, because I schedule time for reactive things. Because I know that reactive things are going to come up, especially as a business owner, right? Everyone has a got a minute meeting. Hey, got a minute? Hey, got a minute? They are the biggest waste of your time. You have to have them scheduled, right? So you schedule in your proactive time and then leave those gaps in your day for reactive, which is emails, which is, I mean, social media today is a serious thing that we need to consider when it comes to business. So you schedule in those times, you pop in, you do your thing, and then you pop out. And then the last thing, number five, is, will it hurt me to throw this away? There is just so much. We get into this clutter of all of our junk, especially in a virtual world as well. So will it hurt me if I throw this away? That is your five steps to time management secrets of billionaires.
I love all of them, and I can relate to a number of them too. It's don't start your day by getting sucked into emails and reactive stuff. It's a mistake that I did in the past. Since I changed my ways and my structure, that has been a game changer. And the other thing, which is so powerful, will it hurt me if I throw this away? It's like, look at the things that are moving the needle. There are just so many, you know, there's just so many things that I write down of things to do. And I go, what is this actually doing? What is this accomplishing? And it's going to take a lot of time. It's not going to help the people that I want to help. And it's not going to do anything for us, for our business. So it's not going to hurt me if I throw it away. So I absolutely love that. The other thing that we've spoken about too, and that I found very useful, is to be intentional. And intentional as in scheduling your day and the moves that you make. You teach a concept of how to get 9 times more impact from every move that you make, which is also pretty powerful. Could you share a little bit more on that concept with us?
Yes. So I see this day in, day out, where businesses are just losing 90% of their ability to get the attention of their prospects and close them into clientele. So imagine that you're in a stadium full of your potential buyers. So it's 40,000 of your potential buyers, right? And you come up to the mic, I hand you the mic and go, okay, MC, what is your title? What would be the title of your talk to keep everyone in their seats interested enough to hear more from you? So I won't put you on the spot, but but typically I'll tell you, I was just with a distributor yesterday. And when I asked them this, they said, well, we'd probably talk about us, you know, just about our experience and, you know, how we've been in the industry for so long. That's a very common response. Well, if you have your pen and paper, it's best to write this down, draw out a triangle. So if you draw out a triangle and you put a little line at the 3% of that triangle, so just at the top, put a line and write 3% next to it. So that's the buying now category. That top 3% is interested in buying your product right now. So of those 40,000, let's say you make 100 cold calls. Let's use it as that an example. Roughly around 3% will be interested in buying now. Another 7%. So if you draw another line at around 7%, that's interested. They're interested, but maybe they're not exactly in the buy now category. Then you have, if you draw two more lines to divide the rest of the triangle, 30% are not thinking about you, your product or service. The next 30% are not interested in what you have to say. And then the last 30% are definitely not interested. They have a very strong opinion of what they think of you, your kind of product or service. So when you look at this buyer's pyramid, 90% of it are people that don't give a hoot about you, your product or service. So if you are starting your conversations about you, you are only reaching that 3% and then maybe the 7%, and you're missing 90% of those people. It's absurd. Every time I get a LinkedIn message that says, this is what I do and I would love to talk to you about it, I'm like, you're missing 90% of the buyer's pyramid. If you talk to me about what's interesting to me, maybe I would listen. So what is a great stadium pitch title that would get the attention of the entire buyer's pyramid that would bring them up to the top? I'll give you one quick example. We had a client out of Dubai. It was a real estate company. Their entire industry was completely flatlined. They went from 17 million to zero. So they called us and said, hey, we need some help. We created a stadium pitch for them. So their ideal prospect was a Fortune 500 CEO. They're selling like million-dollar condos, and it's a second home, million-dollar second home. So it's a very wealthy individual to get their attention. If they're talking about their beautiful, luxurious villas, only 3% would be interested in that, right? Which is a very small percentage if you're talking about dream Fortune 500 CEOs, right? So instead, we led an intensive effort where we educated people. Why successful CEOs, Fortune 500 CEOs, are dying of premature death, are more likely to have diabetes, and what you can do about it. That became our stadium pitch. And I'm telling you, can you imagine telling real estate brokers, okay, instead of talking about homes, we're now going to talk about premature death, diabetes, and you know how children grow up in wealthy homes. All of these pain points of a Fortune 500 CEO. We actually, that particular client increased their sales by 3,546% over a 12-month period. In the first 6 months, they closed $298 million. Insane, I know, but it's all the power of education-based marketing and what we would call a core story.
Yeah, and to your point, it's almost that nobody's ever bought a drill to buy a drill, right? They've bought a drill to make a hole. Yeah. And it's like, where's the hole going? Is it concrete? Is it brick? Is it drywall? Is it wood? Is it? So it's like, you know, educating them about the problem and how this eventually will solve the problem for them is pretty, pretty powerful stuff. You talked about the education too, and maybe you can share a little bit more about the power of that in the sales process and some of the things that you're seeing in the world of today, because behaviors have certainly changed over the past, you know, number of months. What are some of the best ways to, through education, obviously touching in that, but what are some of the best ways to address some of the new behaviors that you see out there?
We have a really great power right now. It's called the power of multiplicity, marketing multiplicity. We have so many more. 7 years ago, the average B2B marketer did about seven different marketing mediums to be able to be best in class. They had seven different ways. They had their trade shows, they had cold calling, they had maybe direct mail, billboards, maybe television, these things that are outdated. Today, we have the average B2B marketer is doing 15 different mediums on average. So your ability to, as my partner Ted Miller says, circle the dragon in so many different mediums. If I come after you, you're going to know it, right? I have friended you on LinkedIn. I have messaged you there with something very valuable. I have tweeted your name probably on a meme. I have sent you a Facebook request. I have emailed you. I have sent you a direct mail to your office. I, you know, you're seeing me on Facebook ads because I'm targeting you. I am everywhere. So it goes from, I don't know your organization, I've never heard of you, to, oh, I think I've heard of that organization, to, yeah, I've heard of them, maybe we should talk to them, to the, I definitely know them, we need to talk to them, right? That the ultimate reason why you market is to create top of mind awareness so that as soon as they hit that buying now 3%, they're calling you, right? So how do you create that? You become everywhere. You are in their face, in their place, in their space. And the best way to do that is to do it as a bright spot in their day. How can you add value? How can you talk to them about what's problematic for them, even if it has nothing to do with your product or service? You are solving their problems to get in front of them to then offer your solution.
Yeah. That's very, very, very powerful right there. Because I mean, I've seen it. I look at how I purchase things too and things that I find valuable. And it's the same thing where someone started talking about one thing, but eventually, you know, I want to learn more of what they have because I found what they said very insightful and they solved the problem for me or gave me something to think about or, you know, there's a lot of different ways to do that.
I want to speak to that really quick. One quick addition. I'm so sorry. So much of the buyer's journey is happening online now as well.
One of the things that's very important to us is principles and values and leaving a legacy. And your dad has got an amazing legacy and you're living your legacy. A core message in our show is to leave our families, communities, and the world better than we found it by passing down a mindset, values, and principles to future generations, not just money. So if you cannot pass on any money to future generations and we're only allowed to pass on three principles to them to build wealth and achieve happiness and success, what would they be?
Two things come to mind. My father's, one of his favorite quotes is, maturity is when all of your doors turn to windows. All your mirrors turn to windows. Wow, I can't believe it. Maturity is when all of your mirrors turn to windows. So it's that idea of looking out to others. And that is where the true growth and happiness and fulfillment lies, is by going beyond yourself. And that was a very pivotal piece for me. And also the poem by Rudyard Kipling, If. I don't know if you've ever read it.
I love it. I love that poem. Yeah.
Yeah. It's absolutely fantastic. But my father said a lot of really wonderful things. He actually had cancer twice in his life. And when I was 13, the first time he did, he said, I have raised you so much so that I know that you'll be okay if I leave, because I have worked so hard to give you just the basics of what it is to live that fulfilling life. And he really did train me. Like, I think back to when he was teaching self-defense. So I think you can appreciate this. So when I was like 4, 5, 6, my whole childhood, his favorite game was, can you get away from me if I grab your arm? Can you, like, you know, do different techniques, karateka techniques, to be able to get out of a grip so that nobody will ever hold you down. And it wasn't like something he taught me once. It was like that summer, every time he got the chance, he would grab me so that I felt confident and knew that I could get out of any grasp, any, you know, behind the neck, all of these things. I always felt confident because repetition is the mother of all skill. He would repeatedly do this over and over and over again for years. So, and because of that, I've traveled the world and felt confident and confident in myself to know that I could take care of myself, because it was institutionalized within me growing up. So if you want something to truly penetrate your children, I think you can't just say it once. It has to be something that happens over and over and over, and not just for a summer, for years, you know?
Absolutely. Very powerful stuff. One habit I've learned and seen from very successful people such as yourself is they're always studying and learning. What are you currently studying and learning?
At the moment, I am learning more about Facebook and automating. I have a really wonderful automated system. I have these 12, so we have 12 core competencies for doubling sales, and I have put 6 of them into training programs. So I have free content online that leads to a landing page where people can buy a smaller package of it, a mini course, and then that upsells into another opportunity and another opportunity. So I've automated this serious system. And now I'm looking to understand how to take that to Facebook ads, which I find really, really fascinating, how people have been able to scale using that model. And then I'm also doing a lot of piano with a metronome, playing a lot of piano lately.
Oh, fantastic. Very interesting. And it's so true what you said. If you could systematize that and automate it, I mean, with the power that we have to scale these days, it's incredible. Your marketplace is the world. You know, 7 billion people. It's quite fascinating, and we're living such amazing times. How can folks work with you guys? Where can they reach out to you? Where can they learn more about the programs you have to offer and get in touch with you guys?
Yeah, well, a great resource would be The Ultimate Sales Machine. So our book, you can get a free chapter 4. You just go to chetholmes.com and you can find it on our resources page. Also, on that main page, or if you want to go to ultimatesalesmachine.com, the name of the book, I have a 3 video series that teaches our 3 strategies for doubling sales. And it goes more in depth into the Dream 100. It goes more in depth into the stadium pitch. It goes more into hiring sales superstars as well, how to find those great sales superstars and what to say to them, how to attract them, all of these things.
Fantastic. Well, nothing happens until something gets sold, right? And there's a way for you to get your stadium pitch together, create a Dream 100 strategy. I would highly recommend checking out at chedholmes.com, ultimatesalesmachine.com. So we'll put links in all of our show notes and all of our social media notes as well for folks. But I would highly recommend folks check it out. Amanda, this has been a pleasure. Thank you so much. And thank you so much for being such an amazing sport.
My pleasure. My pleasure. It's been a lot of fun, MC.
Absolutely. Thank you so much for providing so much value for all of our listeners and our viewers out there. And thank you so much for spending your most valuable resource, your time with us on the show. I really appreciate all the support everyone has given us. If you find what we do valuable here, please give us a like, please give us a share, please share us with your community and your family and friends, and check out all of our other episodes at cashflowninja.com. There's over 700 of them. And also, you don't want to miss the State of the Union. Again, Dave Steck, our friend of the show, on the 28th of January at 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Go to cashflowninja.com, State 2021. That's cashflowninja.com, State 2021. Until next time, live infinitely. Presentation is for educational and informational purposes only. The information being presented and considered does not consider your particular financial objectives or situation, and it does not make personalized recommendations. This material is not intended to replace the advice of a qualified tax and legal advisor or other qualified professionals, and you should not use the information in place of a customized consultation with a licensed professional regarding your specific personal financial objectives, situation, and needs. We believe the information provided is reliable, but we do not guarantee its accuracy, timeliness, or completeness.